Bowman woke at 8. Before sleep, he'd squeezed half a lemon into a tankard of water and left it by his bed. He sat up now and drank it down. He was not a morning person, but he felt pretty good, still a spring in his step from the job well done last night. There it was, a universal truth before breakfast. The deepest principle in human nature is the craving to be appreciated. He sauntered to the bathroom in his sarong and t-shirt, and then stepped into the lane to pick up his paper. In the kitchen, he made coffee and spread the National on the bench. It was the only broadsheet left in the country, and when they choose to unleash, they went big. They'd gone big today. Bowman knew that in all the other outlets, a story would be generic, controlled by the cops. No name had been released, there'd be no images of the scene, no footage on the networks. So Bowman's picture was the only thing. They'd run it deep and wide across the whole front page, under the headline, BMK Strikes at Boys' School. Broadsheets might be old media, but under full sail, when the wind was up, they looked magnificent. Alexander called. Bowman was off the late shift. The editor wanted him back at the school right away. Look for stuff to interview, look for anything, just don't get shunted by the cops, Alexander said and hung up. Bowman turned on the radio and headed for the shower. Ablutions done, he stood back in the kitchen, listening to the news and checking the websites. Still no name from the cops. In the Nissan, he put the windows down and made a U-turn on Darling. At the roundabout at the London, he turned right and followed the back streets, right again on Glassop, and the river was laid out before him, Cockatoo Island sitting clean off his bow. 25 years in Balmain, and every week it took his breath away. Water everywhere. People always looked east, to the harbour and the big bays, and then the bluffs, the stratified promontory drama of the heads. Bowman liked to look west, to look homewards, to the scars of industry and the way the light played, the shimmering scales of the Serpent River. The workers' cottage had come down to him through his mother's side, stretching back to the convict past. She'd never lived in it. After Chick, Bowman had watched his mother crumple, and then he'd turned away, unable to bear witness to her grief for her little boy. She'd died adrift from her living son and estranged from her husband. John Bowman had the gene. He dissolved himself in alcohol. Towards the end, he had come to stay in Datchet Street, and Bowman had watched his father drink himself to death, drowned in drink in the drowned river valley. He took the same route as the night before, but this time crossed straight over Pennant Hills Road and down to a flat strip of shops adjacent to the school. Chemist, dentist, GP, hairdresser, newsagent, milk bar, mini market morphing into bottle shop. He parked and got out. Prince Albert sat up to his left. A patrol car was moored at the top of a cul-de-sac where the path led into the campus. Head down, Bowman walked away from the police along a road parallel to the school's northern edge. After 50 metres, there was a gap in the suburban houses and a track veering off. He took it and dropped into scrub, walked up a rocky rise, through a hole in a cyclone fence that rode the boundary, and he was in the school. The way was well worn, beaten down by generations of boys ducking out to visit the shops. Bowman had trodden it hundreds of times.